I was so pumped to see 300 when it first came out. I don't know about you guys, but it came out when I was in college, and I got so many of my acting friends to go, and I think there were 18 of us. And this was in the days where before like the apps and you buying tickets online and stuff. I guess you could have done, could do Fandango, but it was cheap, but it was more expensive to do that. You had to pay the fee. So I remember I walked to the theater and I purchased 18 tickets. And I had 18 tickets in my pocket, which if you lose it, you know, that's, but I had them and I organized this thing and we all went and saw 300 at midnight. And it was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had. And I think I single-handedly caused Zack Snyder.
Those 18 tickets you bought.
He was big before then. He was big. I first learned about him during Dawn of the Dead, the remake, which was great.
Which was fun. Like, yeah, I like that remake.
That is a formidable movie for me, the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
And so I also saw 300 and like, but I was underwhelmed by 300. I
think Whoa,
I
fell asleep. You were underwhelmed.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I fell asleep.
Wow.
At one part. What? And
so like, now, okay.
No, but I gotta say,
James,
I think I'm in the wrong. Yeah, I think I'm in the, cause I know like people go hard for that movie. So I'm not saying 300. I am not saying when I say that I was underwhelmed by 300, that 300 is bad. I'm saying that was my experience watching 300.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because there are people who thought 300 was bad, and those people, I think, feel vindicated from,
right?
You know what I mean? From the later movies. But like at the time,
the style of that, like, come on, man.
Yeah, it looks great.
Just the kick. This is Sparta with the kick. Bro, I'm sorry.
The kick alone.
Come on, man.
It's Sparta.
Oh my goodness.
There were so many moments like that.
That visual. Also,
our arrows will blot out the sun. Then we shall fight in the shade.
Then they did. And then they did.
In the shade. And the only reason they got is because they were mean, but whatever. You know what, though? I will say we got to give him credit for the running zombie. We got to give him credit for the running zombie.
Truly, I loved that movie. You know, it's Zack Snyder and James Gunn. And like, I think a lot of the stuff that I love exists in that movie and like carry on in a lot of different ways in the other stuff.
Dawn of the Dead came out before 28 Days Later.
Briefly.
Yeah, okay. Maybe a couple.
Because they both, like, I think both of them popped the same around the same time. But yeah, we can get.
But Dawn of the Dead, that specifically being a remake. It's like it was already just drastically different because they just immediately start running. You're like, oh,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're doing this.
Wait, no. I am wrong. 28 Days Later was first.
Okay. So then, yeah.
So yeah. But it's technically 28 Days Later, they're not zombies. They just humans with a virus.
Interesting.
They still alive. They just got rabies.
All right.
They're not dead.
I mean, come on, Bray. I'm just saying, they ain't dead, baby.
I've never seen the 28 days.
Correct. No. That is technically correct. They are not the undead. They have a virus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is now referred to as a zombie virus, which is like a virus that basically turns you into a zombie because of other World War Z is like that, I believe, as well.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought that's what COVID was. I thought COVID was like, yo, bro, we about to be like, I was like, yo, we stuck
you
in the house.
That's what COVID was?
Bray, I have never in my life have heard of people being trapped in a house by the world. The world was like, yo, y'all can't leave y'all home. I thought we was getting ready for the zombie apocalypse, baby. That's why I was like, shoot.
You thought that over like just like, I don't know. Outbreak or contagion.
I don't know, Bray. I only seen it in the movies. I only seen the monkey biting people. Okay. Yeah, and then they had an outbreak. All right. Yeah. And I saw 28 days later. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there was the period of time when people were like, a dude on bath salts ate somebody's face off. And I was
James, I talked about that today because that happened when I was in college. I went to school in Baltimore and there was a black dude who was, quote unquote, ate bath salts and he ate his roommate's face. I talked about that this morning.
I'm sorry, what?
It's crazy.
Yeah. They were like, people kept going cannibalized off of bath salts. I remember it. 2008, baby.
Wow.
I don't take bath salts now. So you tell me it's bath salts in here. I'm like, not me. Not me.
You don't take bath salts now?
Nope.
Now that it's died down, I still don't take them.
Bray, when I'm on the freeway and I see those little things with the circles,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't drive behind that. Final Destination taught me mm-hmm. that those things fly
you
back.
Stay in line. Okay. Yeah. You're not a rebel. Moon. Part one. The Child of Fire.
Wait, is that the real name of this? Rebel Moon, Child of Fire? No.
Part one, Child of Fire.
No. Yeah.
I'm looking at it right.
Get it right. Rebel
Moon. Oh, wow. Moon. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I see it. It's in small print under. Okay.
Part one, Child of Fire.
Part one, Child of Fire. Who's the Child of Fire?
Homegirl.
What do you mean? Right? Yeah.
Wait.
The main character.
Wait.
The main character is a Child of Fire.
Was she born in fire?
You know what? We're going to talk about this after we start the show. Let's start the show. Okay.
Jonathan Raylock. James the Third. Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump. In
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
What we have done today is a first step against the mother world. Was I in this last battle? Did you see me do anything in this last battle? No, but I do have a speech that I will deliver at the end of the film.
Which character was that?
Digimon Hansu.
Digimon. Okay. Yes. Got it. Guys, he
was in the last battle.
Did he do anything?
Did any of them? Okay, guys.
In the last battle, I think three people did something in the last battle.
No, that's true. One person did a big thing. Yeah. And I guess two people did the thing. Listen, before we get on this, we need to let the people know what's going on. All right? Because for some reason, this film is what got you listening to this for the first time. I'm talking to you. You know who you are. Welcome. You are a rebel, Moon. Part one, Child of Fire. This is a film, a review podcast. We talk about the films of leading Black actors or leading actors of color. We discuss them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. This film that we are doing today is Rebel Moon, Part One, The Child of Fire. That stars Sophia Boutella, is that how you say her name?
Sure.
She is an Algerian actress. So
Algerian.
Definitely a person of color. It's interesting, like the North African countries, like they're African, but they have like you know, this Middle Eastern, mm-hmm. you know, Arabic influence. So I don't know if they consider themselves Black, you know? Like, do Moroccans and Algerians and
interesting, you know, I don't know,
right?
But they are, but I mean, Egyptians, like, you know, Rami's Egyptian, like he's Middle Eastern, like Egypt is Middle East, like firmly in the Middle East, but it is also a part of Africa, and that's where like the cradle civilization is too. Anyway, right. We're not here to discuss any of that though. The person who's talking to you now, is someone, you know, who used to be a prince.
How does this work?
And wow. Yeah, the voice that you're listening to now is like, imagine the voice of a prince that lost his people, but still has the will to fight and can tame beasts with a mere touch of his hand.
Ugh, what is happening?
That's the voice, right. The voice that you're picturing. Ugh. That's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
That was all right. So much.
I appreciate that.
That was crazy.
That might have been my favorite character.
That was like a crazy situation. Was that a character? Good God.
All right. Come on, man.
Gerard didn't watch this movie.
That was a character. Yo, everything that's so funny about this is my boy Tony's here, and we tried to watch this movie. We started this movie three times yesterday, and we kept doing other stuff. And then we tried to watch it again last night, and then we actually finished it today. I didn't know that. I don't even know what character you guys are referring to. And I just finished it. Like I just
the one who it. Rode the freaking eagle.
Yeah, the one that tamed person. The beast.
Oh,
there's
right.
one person did, that does
why
that.
Why did he need to do that? Why did he do? Anyway,
we'll talk about it.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a second.
God.
Who are you? What's your name?
Who are voice, you?
Whose voice is that of Gerard Milligan?
And this voice is James the Third.
Oh Lord. it's just this is gonna be a fun one. Guys, we're reviewing Rebel Moon Part One, A Child of Fire. This film came out when did this come out? I wanted to say last year, but did it come out this year? No, it came out last year.
Yeah, last year. I think.
Came out last year, December. And the second one has also come out. They're both on Netflix, directed by Zack Snyder. This was essentially billed as like Zack Snyder's Star Wars. Like he
And that's what it is.
Definitely. He was like, I want to make my own Star Wars, and I'm going to do it. And Netflix was like, we'll give you a crack ton of money to do that. And he was like, great. You're not going to know, but I'll take it. And then this is a movie that stars, as I said, Sophia Boutella. Digimon Hansu is in this. Anthony Hopkins plays the voice of Jimmy.
Why was the robot in this movie? Okay.
I'm assuming there'll be more of that in the second one.
There's certainly going to be more.
Yeah.
Certainly going to be more in the next
book. We have Charlie Hunnam. What's her name? Bay Donna? Where is she from? Because I recognize her. Oh, she was in Cloud Out. Oh, she's in The Host, Cloud Atlas. She's the, she has swords. She's a swords woman.
Swords oh, you woman. Mean the Asian actress who they don't let talk?
Oh, she says a couple.
She talks a couple. She has one of my favorite parts in this from a storytelling standpoint.
From an acting standpoint,
I was like mad until she
said
something. I was like, all right, cool. Oh, I was like mad at the movie.
It's a pretty diverse cast.
Except for all the minorities get caught at the end. They're the only one in the little holding things. All the white people ain't in it. They all get at the end of the movie. They all get caught up, and it's only the minorities and the two white people just chilling.
Well, yeah, well, I actually think that's because the minorities are more important. That's actually the message. The message is they are more important than these white people.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about it.
This film has currently has a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow, that's well.
However. 56% audience score, so still rotten.
you set it up.
It cost $166 million to make. And what else is there to say?
$166 million.
Yeah, I think it was number one on Netflix for like at least 2 weeks, maybe three.
That's because anytime you clicked on Netflix, it was the first thing on the banner.
Yeah, they certainly pushed the hell out of it. Yeah.
But Zack Snyder said something. I don't remember the quote. Do you guys know? I'm bringing it up just in case any of y'all heard the quote. But he said something like this. More people saw this than. And then he said like the biggest movie. He said like than Barbenheimer or something. Like, did you hear that quote?
That's not true.
I
don't believe like, that.
It was something like that. It might not have been Barbenheimer.
That is insane.
So here's the thing. The way that they do. Views is also by minutes watched.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, which I've certainly been guilty of, you can put something on and fall asleep to it and then it ends. And then you're like, well, I have to go watch this again because I didn't actually watch it. Right.
And does that double the minutes? Like, does that count as.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're watching it again. They'll count those minutes again. Yeah. So it's like, calm down.
Or you become a part of a podcast where they force you against your will to watch this movie and you got to give it all the minutes in full and you got to watch it and they try to make you watch
the
second one. And they like just start the second one. They just start the second one. And it's like, how do you know I enjoyed the first one?
Stop it after the, why did you get to the-
Why should I have to stop it? I'm making lunch and now you're just going to start the second one?
All right, well.
All right. I guess this was rated. Yeah, it's R-rated film.
Definitely R-rated, right?
Yeah.
All the violence?
Yeah.
All the blood, I mean, I guess?
I guess there was a good amount of violence. I don't know. I didn't even clock it. This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you leave work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Now, I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes we do not live a life that is week to week or 2 weeks to 2 weeks, okay? You know that money's coming in, but you need the money right now. Maybe it's a last minute gift that you forgot. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, my dad's birthday's coming up. I didn't get him a gift yet. I need that money in my pocket, please. Sometimes a bill sneaks up on you. Hey, it's been hot, okay? Maybe that AC bill is higher than you expected. You need that money to come in? Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in jump under podcast when you sign up. It's really helped the show. Jump, J-U-M-P, under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. This podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. It's an easy and exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And all you have to do is play against the numbers. You pick more, you pick less from 2 to 6 player stat projections, and watch the winnings roll in. Okay? You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Do you know how hard that is to do? Prize Picks makes it easy. Okay? They put their members first. So all withdrawals are fast, they're safe, they're secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. I start to use Prize Picks, okay? And I've been watching the WNBA. I like to root for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And I've been just been like, you know what I mean? Just go bullish on them, get those winnings, all right? All you have to do is pick somebody like Caitlin Clark. Is she going to score more than 19 points? Absolutely. Put it in. Lock that in. All right. Is Angel Reese going to get more than 12 rebounds? You better believe it. Lock that in. Listen, it's so easy. You just look at it. You go to the sport that you want. You go to the players that you want. You click in it. You lock in your picks. Could not be easier. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Hollywood and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Hollywood on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Initial thoughts. Who wants to start?
I'll go. I'll get this out of the way because I'm going to tell y'all right now. Y'all ain't going to hear nothing else from me after this opening, okay? Because I got nothing to say. All right,
nothing
I'm trying
else.
To be positive. I did not enjoy this movie. I like Scott. I like Zack Snyder. The thing about Zack Snyder is like his earlier movies were so important to me. Even when he did, I like 300. I like when he did Watch. I am one of the people who would defend Watchmen because I get what he was going for.
I like Watchmen.
I even like when he did the zombie one on Netflix during COVID with Dave Bautista. Like I thought that
I
was
didn't
fun.
Like that one as much.
I thought it was fun and dumb. This one, I was like...
It was certainly fun and dumb. That's true.
I mean, But also this one, I was like, I have rarely agreed with things that Disney have done, and I get why they said no. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I get why they said no. He made a movie that was just The Seven Samurai. Like, you just did that movie, and I love his visuals, man. I used to, I even talked about it. The slow motion kick from 300 is freaking awesome. This movie has so much slow-mo. So much slow-mo. And then on top of that, I'm like, none of these characters do I even know too much about. And it's style over substance. And you know what it is? This is my last thing. I think the more and more we keep watching these movies, whether it's a Tyler Perry movie, whatever it is, And the closer and closer I get to making a movie, and I see the opportunities people keep getting after like unsuccessful movie after unsuccessful movie, like budgets aren't getting cut for them. It's just like, you still get to do the thing. This movie damn near broke my spirits for Hollywood. Like, I was like, this was a rough experience. And like, that's all I'm gonna say. Peace out, this, you know, to the Snyder heads. God bless your souls. Okay. Ben Affleck is a good Batman.
They really ride for that man. Really riding for that man.
One of my favorite Batmen, but you know, all right, I'm done.
Okay. So, Rebel Moon, part one, A Child of Fire. I think this movie is an absolutely phenomenal disaster. I actually think it's spectacularly bad. And and I mean that genuinely. I think that this movie is intriguingly awful that you should watch it. I actually think it's worth watching because it is crazy. It's like the amount of different influences that clearly went into this, like how absolutely unorganized and chaotic the production design was. That the script is like bouncing around and like, but it's like it takes itself so seriously. I actually was fascinated by it, and I think there's some good acting in here. Oddly enough, I think there's some really good acting in here. I think there's some really interesting ideas in here from time to time, but it's wild. There is a Nazi, but here's the thing. There are Nazi soldiers. There are robots that don't seem to be a part of the universe, but they're there. They have like, there's very clear nods and homages to like Star Wars, but also to like films like Seven Samurai. There's like cowboy influences. There's like fantasy stuff in here, you know, like, It is all over the map. It's like Zach took the like all of like the favorite things from every like action fantasy sci-fi adventure film that he saw and just try to stuff them into one movie. I mean, it's crazy to think that this film got made. And there's a part of me that really actually admires it in this way that it's like, man, never again, right? Like, will this ever happen again? I don't think so. Maybe, but probably not, you know, like not for a long time. I don't know what else to say. It's certainly not original. It kind of actually feels like the apex of like where we are in terms of like creative originality can only exist within the confines of like regurgitation and imitation, right? Like it's like we can't break out of that, at least at this level. And so we get a movie like this, which is like, this is our original film, you know, Rebel Moon. But yeah, here's the thing. I will say this though. Because Jaras, like, he was like, oh, he struggled a lot. I, many times during this movie, found myself being like, wait, what happened? And rewinding and then being like, okay. And I think I actually know everything that happened in this film. And I wasn't confused. And I actually understood what was happening. I'm not saying it made the most sense and it was the best story. But I followed it.
Yeah. Bray latched on to something that I really latched on to, which was, I haven't seen Seven Samurai, but the number of different things, like the number of different influences that the movie has and how it really felt like he was just doing like, and now this is a scene from this movie. Like, it just seemed like he was just like literally stringing together a bunch of stuff that he had seen before. So the only other thing that I can talk about in terms of the movie itself is like how much this felt like a really long and entirely too long episode of television. Like, I know this is part one, but not for as much as there's a lot of stuff happening, not much happened. It's a gathering of the team and then one kind of battle.
It is certainly a part one.
And it's like, no, this is a part one. This is a preamble is what this was.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I picked the specific line that I picked, because it was very annoying. I was just like, by the end of it, I was just like, what is this? Why did you make me watch all of this? But yeah, I agree. I thought there was some good acting in it. And the thing that hit me while I was watching it was like, I only watched this for this podcast, but this particular sci-fi is like all the stuff I want to see. So it was like, oh, he made this for, he trying to get me. Well, I see you trying to get me, Zack Snyder.
With
all of everything. It's like, oh, this, they're farmers and they really, it just seems like farmers. And now there's a spaceship here. Oh, that's kind of fun, you know? And then like, oh, we're seeing all the people and all the different warriors are different. And oh, look, now it's a giant spider. You know, like, just kind of like, it was like, oh, you just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall.
I was so confused. I am so confused.
You're trying to get, ooh, maybe I'll get them like this. maybe I'll get them like this, you know?
What about
and so like, it was annoying and it was frustrating, but there were ingredients that I found fun, of course. And that's it. What can I say? You know, I'm not riding hard for Zack Snyder. I don't got the tats, you know, and I didn't like this movie as a whole, but I gotta say, I want to see part two.
I gotta know
what's going on. I gotta know what's happening to my people. When the Rebel Moon started knocking everybody out, I was like, ah, that is fun. That is a fun. So,
bro, I don't understand.
That's where I'm at with the movie. We'll talk about things more specifically as we get through.
Okay. The opening of this movie actually is like Anthony Hopkins doing a voiceover and being like, here's the universe that you're in. Honestly, they should have just done a crawl, just do a crawl, but whatever. It was just like, hey, there's this freaking kingdom called the Motherland. They're spreading across the galaxy. They're taking things up. And then somebody assassinated the king. And then a senator took over and he was even more ruthless than the king was. And there's like some rebellion in the outskirts of the Motherland, and that's where we are. And you're like, okay, great. And then it opens with our heroine, Cora is her name, played by Sophia. And Cora is pulling a Luke Skywalker, farming with some beast, you know, like literally like, no, but actually... But more ridiculous because it's like there is no technology here, even though they live on a planet that understands that there's technology in the universe. They just don't use it.
Right. That robot, that's the Anthony Hopkins character, is theirs, right? Like belongs to the, you know.
No,
is,
no.
Is a member of the, oh, no.
He's a part. He's like a. He's a part of the.
He came bad with guys. with the yeah. Armada.
He came with the bad guys. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought.
They used to be. So, like I said, I know everything. So, Anthony Hopkins' character, the robot, used to be a part of like androids that protected the king, and they were swore loyalty to them. But then, once the king died and the princess died, they all kind of were like, I don't know. And somehow, they were able to overwrite their programming, I guess. Maybe they're like AI. And so they're just like, never mind. We'll be of service, but we're not killing anybody. We're not going to be soldiers anymore. Which is interesting. We don't see it. I was very interested in this character. Fascinating. I was like, I want to know more about that. But we don't get it at all. I guess we'll get it in part two. But Cora, but we have this insane image of Cora like farming and then like looking up like forlorn at the like a planet that looks like Saturn that is so big in their atmosphere that I was like, this makes no sense.
It can't work.
If two planets are this close together, their gravities are going to destroy each other. Like, that's not how it works. But sure, whatever. Not to mention, it had an asteroid belt around that planet. I was like, those asteroids would be getting caught in the other planet's gravitational pull. Anyway, whatever. He doesn't care about that. It just looks cool.
It looks cool, yeah.
Imitating the two suns from Star Wars. But this character made no sense in the beginning, but eventually she starts to make sense. Because at the beginning, I was like, who is this person and why do we care? Like, what is going on? And we find out she's been there for two seasons, which is not that long, I assume. You know, it's like an easy task. And there's a guy who likes her, but she doesn't like that guy. She likes this other guy, but, you know, yeah, and whatever. I mean, you anything about this the setup here of this little town? Did we care about here's the question, because I think they wanted you. Did we care about this little village?
So I didn't.
Why should we at this point?
I didn't.
I think you're supposed to like. I think you're supposed to like the people here and like.
We don't even see them do anything. We don't see the kids running around playing. We don't see any of it.
But this was when I texted you guys like, oh man, I don't watch enough movies because I love this cast already. Like, I was already just excited about who was in it. Like, I was just like, oh, this person's in it. Like, so the town, I didn't care about the town, but I was like, I do like those actors. Like, that was my experience of the first like maybe 20 minutes.
Right, because who played the
Corey Stoll was the
familiar.
Was the like head of the farm, was like the head of
the
village.
He's in Corey Stoll was from what do you call it,
Ant-Man is the first big thing that I can think of, but
well,
he's
Ant-Man,
in a, he's in
no,
a lot
but
of
yeah. Netflix first Netflix House of Cards
okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah,
he was in House of Cards. No sorry, yeah, Corey Stoll. Yeah, I was like, this, what an interesting, I think he's having fun. He looked like he was having fun.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. In Star Wars, they open up, it's like this desert planet. The whole point about Luke is like, he's bored and anxious and frustrated that he has to be stuck on this boring planet doing monotonous work, and he wants an adventure. And then an adventure stumbles upon him and he realizes he's special. This movie, it's already clear that she is not of this village. Mm-hmm. The village itself is not idyllic. It's supposed to be peaceful, but it's like, I feel like they needed this place to be more of a paradise than it was. Like, it was Tatooine, but Tatooine sucks. And the reason it sucks is so that Luke can get the hell out of there because he doesn't want to be there. But this is supposed to be a place that she cares so much about, she's willing to fight even though she stopped fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all these people are supposed to fight for these commoners.
I didn't think too hard about this. I'm now trying to just respond to what you just said. But do you think that it not being a paradise is what makes it special that she chooses to fight and reveal herself? Like she's been... The thing that she reveals later is, you know, who she is and how she's been, you know, she's been working for the other side and blah, blah, blah. And she's trying to escape that. And she like finally found some simplicity just doing this away from everything. And now they're here. They're going to find me. And I'm going to fight for this small kind of scrappy thing. You know what I mean?
I think it was like more like she was fighting for the people. Like, yeah. She cared so much about the people there. Like, people were kind.
Yeah.
But you got a little bit of a sense of that. I don't know. It was tough, but I don't know. It seems like none of us cared that much about the village.
No.
Which we kind of, that is the exciting incident. Anyway.
And we're going back to the village at the end, which may or may not be there, yeah. Right? Like, we don't know what's.
And like one of the last last lines is them being like, this would have been a beautiful place to die. Like, this is a beautiful place. And I literally was like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's almost squalor. Like,
what are you talking about?
It's the almost only
thing, the only thing nice about this place is the fact that this planet that's clearly going to destroy it in a few years is so close. It looks pretty in the background. That's the only thing. Anyway, but then the Nazis come.
I couldn't get over how Nazi coded all of this was. Like, why? For what?
It's not just Nazi coded. like The Force Awakens, like they were like, you know what I mean? Like, Star Wars is like Nazi coded.
They do a Heil in Force Awakens. They're like, yeah, we're gonna go for this in this way. Whereas this is like
Star.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're just. It just feels like they're wearing Nazi uniforms.
Right. Yeah. The haircut feels Nazi.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
I
was like, have some originality. Come on. What? Like, it just straight up looks like a Nazi uniform.
I don't get why. I don't get why.
That has to be Zach.
It seems like they are fighting for something. Like, it seems like they're at least fighting for, like, the king was killed or something. Like, it seems like they have like some reason even for fighting, where it was like, if we were like
they I mean, they don't,
right? Yeah,
not that I mean, yeah,
but they at least gave them a thing, like, oh, where,
yeah
you sure. know what I'm saying? Like, whereas Nazis are just like, we don't like y'all, you know, like
which I think that's what I guess that's what Zach wanted. But to me, it was just like, dude, it's obviously in film history, I mean, people know about Star Wars. They know about stormtroopers being compared to Nazis. But like, so why are you just doing that blatantly? It just doesn't even feel right. It doesn't feel, it's just like, it took me out of it fully. I was literally, I mean, I laughed. I like the first time I saw that guy come out, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, same. Are you serious?
Literally every time I saw him in uniform, it was
crazy. And also, it's not even like all the soldiers look like that. It's just like he looks like that.
Right.
But then, like, they have other soldiers that look different. Like, they have like these priest like guys who never get explained. And I understand Star Wars also has people following around the Emperor who never really get explained.
You gotta wait
either,
for the Rebel Moon books, because there's gonna be a bunch of Rebel Moon books, and we're gonna hear about every single one of those characters in great detail when the books come out. You know? That's what he was doing. He was like, oh, I can't wait for the books and the video games.
Oh,
that
my
explain.
God. All right. And then to me, this was like, Zach was like, I love the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds. Can I do that scene? Like, here's my version of that scene.
That's exactly what it was.
And the thing about that movie, I'm not going to crap on it. Y'all go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, all I got is a bad thing to say. I don't want to keep crapping on movies. Yeah, I
know how much good has
when
been
when the positive
said so
thing
far.
Comes up. Well, I don't. This is rare that you guys crap on movies this hard. So I'm like, I'm a chill.
I mean, it has a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 56% audience score, I think.
I mean,
Zach already knows.
But we still defend bad movies on here all the time.
Yeah, so but we're not going to. There's just no world in which we're going to defend a Zack Snyder movie that. Well, did we like Army of the Dead? We watched that. I can't remember. I didn't like Army of the Dead. I remember not liking
it. I think
Army
we were mixed on that. Yeah, I feel like. I don't think we. I don't think we just crapped on
okay.
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, then we get that scene. We get. Corey Stoll getting killed.
Yeah, this made me mad. I wanted this to work out. Like, I was like rooting for my man from
House of Cards.
No, the other guy. House was Hill House, Haunting of Hill House, and all those shows.
Oh yeah, the main guy. Yeah,
I was like, oh man, I kind of want this to work out for him. I want him to say some stuff, and then everybody gets out of this alive. And then it didn't happen. Then it was like, oh,
no, he got, yeah. Yeah, he kind of messed up. And, you know, that happened. And they leave. They leave behind a bunch of people who are, you know, obviously cruel, except for one soldier who is not, who we never get any explanation for why this guy immediately was like, I'm gonna talk back to all my superiors. I was just like, who is this guy? Why is he doing? What boldness does he have? But he just immediately was like, stop, don't pick on that robot. Don't pick on this girl. Okay. He was defending the robot, which was strange. Them shooting the robot was strange. I don't understand. It's like they're treating this robot in a certain way, but I was like, this is your property.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Like,
well, they were trying to show how, you know, just how evil that man was. You know, that man had no, he didn't care about the artificial nobody. Intelligence, and he didn't care about the women. He didn't care about nobody. You know, they were just like, they wanted us to understood. Make sure that we knew that this guy was evil. You know,
we got it.
This was the torture animals scene for that guy. You know,
I think one of the funniest moments of this movie was that whatever Sergeant Admiral Colonel whatever rank that dude Lieutenant whatever rank that dude was when he goes to the robot and he was like, go clean yourself up. And I was like, why? Why do you care about this robot cleaning himself up? He doesn't need to clean. He's a robot. He literally was like, go clean yourself up and then get back to work. And so this robot just casually strolls to a river and washes his face, his robot face.
Yeah.
and then a woman comes up and is like, are you okay? And I don't know. She gives him a crown of flowers.
Yeah. Thinking that we were going to see more of this robot, I was on board for this particular sequence because I know we will.
The next movie.
But what I liked about the robot specifically is the rendering. So like whoever's in the suit is like deliberately not being robotic. Like he's like as fluid as.
Oh, he's a suit?
Yeah, yeah. There's a mocap person. And then Anthony Hopkins obviously mocap. doing the voice. But was moving in a way that was like just real. There was like nothing animatronic about him. And I thought that was so cool. And then we don't see this robot again. We see the one shot
until,
that he
until
does.
The ve- until the la- very very
and then
end
at the end. Yeah, but
which makes no sense.
I was so upset because I was like, "Oh, this is so cool! How realistic the robots are! Can't wait to see more
I
of
was
this."
Upset too.
Realistic.
Yeah, his behavior, the fluidity of his movements was like a person. It wasn't like it wasn't still or stiff or does that make sense? Like when he's washing himself.
No, so basically, I get it, but that's what bothered me. I was like, so what's the point of this dude being a robot? It's like we're not. Are we saying that robots are like persecuted in this world and are robots the black people?
I guess.
Well, I don't know if they're saying it's the black people.
Well, I'm saying, but what are we saying about this robot? Like
well, they're indentured servants.
I don't quite understand. We don't get enough backstory here. We understand that they used to be formidable fighting machines and they still have them in their employment, but I guess like they've become almost like they just do grunt work now because they refuse to fight, but they treat them like crap.
Yeah.
I think it's because like the soldiers are mad that they don't fight anymore and that they have to risk their own lives maybe? Maybe there's something there. Like, I guess you can read into it a little bit, but there's a part of it that's like, why do these robots even stay in service? Like, they're still in service to the king kind of, but they're like, we're willing to do this, but not that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's confusing. There's only one. There's only this guy. Clearly, it's AI. He's like this scene at the river. Like the woman like puts her like face and
glows.
on his hand and on his face, and his face glows like he likes human touch. And I was just like, what? What does that even mean? Like. And he talks about how, like, she reminds him of the queen. And so then we get other backstory because we get about this backstory about the queen and how the queen was really kind.
Okay.
Also, Cary Elwes was the king. It's just like a random, talk about a random casting. Anyway.
Can I say, because you just brought up something that I found utterly infuriating about the movie, was every scene we got at least a minute or two of exposition, brand new exposition. Like not fleshing out something that had been established before. It was like, nope, here's a brand new thing, and we now need to monologue about the history of this.
There's so much history.
Sometime in the last 30 minutes, there's another moment of that. And it was just like, 30 minutes left? We have 30 minutes left.
There's a lot of lore. Well, she herself like continues to tell us piece by piece throughout the entire movie, like who she is and what happened to her. I mean, that whole, it's like she was a child of fire. Her planet was destroyed. Her parents were killed in front of her. We get kind of a flashback scene of this with the person at the time who, at the end of the movie, we realize is the senator who took over. He's now the king regent or whatever you call it. I don't even know what they call it. The emperor, whatever.
Is he dead or alive?
No, he's alive. He's alive. I understand what you're saying. I guess technically, his neural pathways are alive because he... Yeah, we only see him in the neurological link.
Okay.
So I guess we don't know if his body's alive, but I assume it is. The king is dead. Essentially, he killed the king. They don't explicitly say it, but they might as well. And he took her in and basically made her a child soldier. That was the other thing about this movie that was weird. I felt like they were acting like she was really young, but it was clear that she was... This actress herself is a bit older, and I was just like, how old is this character supposed to be? I couldn't quite tell, right? How old is Sophia?
20s? It's all I can wager.
No, bro. Bro. She was born in 1982.
Oh, shit. But how old's the character?
That's what I'm saying. Cause I felt like they were talking about this character like they were kind of young, but maybe they weren't. Maybe that was just me.
She had fought for years under, you know.
Yeah, she lived a full life.
Yeah.
Anywho, so she's like, here's my past. I became a soldier. I killed a bunch of people, you know, and then I fled. You know, so I'm not even a good person. You're talking to me about helping. I can't help. I'm not even a good person. I got to get out of here. So the guy who found her was like, great, go ahead. And she starts to leave. But then she sees a woman about to be raped. And she's like, well, I got to stop this. I'm going to pick up this axe and I'm going to kill all of you. And that's what she does. She kills them all. Did you like this action sequence?
Gerard's face as we get to this sequence.
I hated this sequence so much.
Is it because of all the times they slowed down?
Oh, the movie is filled with that.
Or is it for even more than that?
so it wasn't even that because this is what was happening. Like they had kids running in slow motion. I was like, all right, so we're just doing this whenever. But to me, it was that the initial idea and conceit that like this first fight has to happen because of a near assault. And there's a movie about a small town that's been taken over by evil, like Nazis, as we will.
Empire. Yeah.
And the best idea for the first fight was that a woman was about to be assaulted by like a bunch of evil men. And then to me, to have our lead female character be the one who have to stop it. There are certain times where like I don't consider myself a toxic fanboy. I consider myself quote unquote closer to the woke scale. But sometimes when I see things, I see a man, like literally I see a man trying to think, oh, I know what women want to see. I know how to do this, right? And I'm like, no, what we're still doing is fucked up. It's like literally when I see some of these female characters, it's like, yo, most recently I've been hanging around with like some of my writer friends, and like they're more women. They have been talking about movies that I love and like scenes where women are now the lead focus, and like, oh, for this woman to be down, she fucks a lot. You know, like that means she's not just like regular women. Oh, this woman is like, you know, the Mary Sue, like she's good at everything. Like if you look at Star Wars, she fucking does everything. Like never flew a plane, flies a plane. This movie, I'm like, to give to break this soldier, we're doing the same thing. Hey, I retired. I got to get bought back out. And the only way they could think to do it was to have a woman assaulted, not to have like the town burnt down, not to have like, oh, her love interest, who is a man. Her love interest, who is a man who we've established at this point is a coward and soft. Okay, we know it right now. Who technically is so soft, he got the dude who ran the town killed.
Well, to be fair, they saved that for the next scene. There is another attempted assault, and that does involve him. And that's the next action scene.
They're only inciting the incidents are assault.
I just
right?
That's literally what happened. That is accurate. It's an accurate description.
You know what it is? And I think it's one of those things where, like, I guess as I get older and ladies, please forgive me. I feel like I'm having those moments as a man where, like, I'm starting to see things and I'm starting to be really disappointed. I remember there was one time, like, I won't say her name, like, astronomy club, like, something happened after Trump got elected. Like, a person who was white at the theater was like, hey, y'all want this show? It's a white woman waking up. You know what I mean? And it was like, it took like a really racist thing to happen for her to see it. And I feel like slowly but surely I'm seeing how men who are trying to readjust how we're doing things just push us back a little bit because they just didn't ask anybody. Like, I feel like if he would ask, I just feel like he should have asked somebody. Like, this movie feels like an unchecked movie all around. Everything about it feels unchecked. And I'm like, you know.
It's just interesting to me that you think that he did this because he thought women wanted to see.
So I think that. He thought he was doing the right thing.
No, yeah.
I think he thought he was showing a strong female character and giving her a sense of urgency by putting another woman in danger. Because of course, what do fucking toxic men do is they assault women, which is a real thing. But also I'm like, as a hero, her heroicism isn't tied to her fucking gender. So it could have been like her just, there is not a movie where a male action hero just stops like every time like an assault of like a woman or man. It's like, he does some shit.
I mean, that does happen a lot.
How often? How often?
I feel like we've talked about it. We've talked about the fact that like.
It will like be it his girlfriend, which is fucked up and dumb. But what I'm saying is at the start of the movie, he's usually being selfless to save a little kid from getting hit by a car or like someone from robbing a bank. Like, this movie is so tied. This scene is so tied to her being a woman. It's almost like if this scene was like a black dude instead, it'd be like, oh, a white cop would have said some racist shit to the black dude and like was about to whip him. And now like, oh, I got to step in and I got to grab the whip because he can't get whipped. I'm like, it just feels so shitty. And half-assed. I'm done with you. I'm done. I'm going on mute. I don't even try.
Fully hear everything you're saying. It's not. I didn't bring that up to argue. It's more like, yeah, like it didn't even. It just that seemed like Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder. Because why do I can somebody?
It felt like
to me when it happened, it was like, doesn't he do this? Didn't he do something like this in Army of the Dead, even like
in Sucker Punch?
Oh, in Sucker Punch.
Yep. And in Sucker Punch.
In Sucker Punch. Okay, maybe it was that.
Oh, Sucker Punch for sure. Sucker Punch for sure.
That's what we're doing. You know.
I feel like I've seen scenes like this countless times. Yeah. I feel like he's just like copying other movies that he's seen, like being like, all right, and now. An assault. She sees an assault. About it's either an assault or near death, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe he thought because it was like a woman, but a woman will save a woman instead of a man saving a woman. But
yeah,
I think he thought the next scene was woke, that the man was being assaulted, and she saves him.
Right. This was making me think of, and I don't think it's the exact same thing, but this was making me think of the bar scene in Total Recall when it felt like that. Yeah. Cause but they were like, oh, but we'll do a gender swap. It's a man like cupping a man's genitals instead of a woman, which is who it is in Total Recall.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, she kills all of them. And then she's like, well, now we got to fight. I loved how the town wasn't like, great. now we're going to all die.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the but the plant, she was like, all right, I'll go find some warriors to help us mount some type of defense.
And then the next hour of the movie
crazy plan.
Is going from planet to planet.
It's the whole movie.
It's the whole movie. Yeah, the last, correct. The movie is, the whole movie is her just finding warriors. That is the movie.
And we don't know their backstory when she finds them.
No, we actually do hear their backstory.
We hear a little bit of backstory from everybody. Yeah, okay.
And then we get a final rundown right before.
Yeah. And then we get a recap. We get a recap by the Nazi telling us here is who every single person is. There's a little story that's attached to each of them. And that's all we get. I'm not saying we get a lot of backstory, but we get a little backstory for every single person.
It's unfortunately worse than getting nothing about them. I would almost be more interested if I was just like, who is this person? Like, and hoping to learn more about them. But they're like, nope, here's a rundown.
So they're trying to find, who are they trying to find first, actually? I couldn't quite...
They were trying to find, his informant, but when they get to that other town, he's, like, locked up or something.
Yeah, he was being kidnapped. Yeah, he's being kidnapped by the bounty hunters. And they go in, and she's asking questions, and there's a shootout because this guy is...
I like some of these creatures in here. The one...
The tentacle?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was like...
I thought that was the most innovative thing. That, to me, in terms of world building or just like filling out a kind of a new world, that was the most innovative thing he did.
Yeah, that was cool.
I don't think there was anything close to that. I think the rest of the movie just felt like you just regurgitating other stuff. That felt like, oh, I don't think I've ever quite seen something like that, where there's an alien creature that's using a human being that's clearly just its slave to communicate. And everybody's like, cool. That's that dude. That's who that dude is. Yeah, he uses Charlie. Speaking of Charlie Hunnam's in it.
I don't know that I've never seen this. I feel like there's a Rick and Morty somewhere that did something like this or like a
Doctor Who. No,
but yeah.
Not fully innovative, but yeah.
Yeah. But it was like, okay, all right, that's different than this other stuff.
I just thought, exactly. I thought it was more different than some of the other stuff. I mean, I guess the device that like just like caught people in that was somewhat interesting.
I like that too. The kind of like scorpion type thing.
Scorpion.
I liked it.
Prison kind of thing.
Has it?
Yeah. So then she gets some information. Charlie Hunnam helps her, and he's like, yeah, I mean, I'll help you for a price. You know, she's like, great, I'll take your help.
I knew the moment he showed up, I said to Tony, I was like, he's too big to be in this movie. He's either the bad guy or he gonna die soon. And you know what? I was right.
Both of those things happened.
That's insane because Dijuan Hansu is also in this and he didn't die and wasn't the bad guy.
Charlie
shows up very early in the movie and is in the rest of the movie.
That's how I knew. I was like, he's either going to die or is he the bad guy?
He could either be Han Solo.
That's what I thought he was supposed to be.
Or Benicio del Toro in The Last Jedi, which is what
he was more Benicio.
Benicio sold him out.
That's what he became. He became Benicio del Toro. I was holding out for him being a Han Solo. I thought he was a Han.
Me too.
He was just in the bar and he had a ship and he could get it. It was like, oh, this.
I 100% thought he was Han Solo.
See, that's my thing about Han Solo is that Han Solo was minding his business. Charlie was like there. Like he was like it was almost like that's what's so funny about the writing of this. It was like he started the conversation already knowing so much information. And I was like, this is weird. And I was like, and no offense. The writing wasn't great enough to like break. I was like, this is weird. It's him. Like, I don't know what he's going to do. I'm like, is this something up with this dude? You know? Like
I admittedly didn't see it coming, and at the same time when the turn happened I was like, she's so stupid for not seeing this.
It was so obvious,
you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know
it was, had like a why should I trust you moment.
Yes.
In the beginning. Yes. And it was just like, well, you certainly shouldn't.
Yeah, why should you? You shouldn't trust him. And then she wound up trusting him to such an extreme extent. Anyway, I mean, then he helped her. The other weird thing about
you helped him catch everybody on the most wanted list.
Yeah, that's
everybody.
Crazy.
You helped him catch the entire most wanted list.
That's crazy. And that's kind of cool. So the first one they go to is Turok.
Okay. Yes. So okay, I gotta just say before we get into this particular character, this was so Turok the Dinosaur Hunter to me. If y'all know that character. I was on board for all of this. I was mad that it was like yet another introduction at another point. Like, but I was like, oh man, I've always wanted to see a live action Turok. There he is with a giant creature, you know, all that. So I was like, all right, this is fun. I like
seeing
Turok.
Is that who that's supposed to be? Or like kind of
no,
the inspiration?
This is Turok. Somebody totally different. Totally different, wholly original character to this movie. But he was very... The design, the costuming, essentially what some of his character stuff is doing. I was like, this is very.
Did y'all think the bird thing was going to go on the plane with them?
I was hoping it would.
Because yeah, I was like, we did all this and like he killed even the bad guy and we just. What was the
part
point?
Two.
What
you have to remember the point of everything. No, you can't ask what's the point because the point is part two.
Yeah,
the point might even be part three for some of these.
Oh, gross.
This is literally episode. I don't know if there is a part three, and I haven't seen part two. But this is literally the first episode of what could be 1 trillion things.
God,
if it makes money or not makes money, if it gets the views.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so they go to Turok. He's a beast tamer. He is the Beastmaster. He is straight out of a fantasy movie. He's Conan the Barbarian.
Yes. Yep.
The guy's like, I like to gamble. So if he could tame this creature, this eagle creature, then you all go free. If not, I keep you all as prisoners. And he's like, I could do it.
To Jirai's point, of not knowing these people. This is one of those moments of like, this means next to nothing. What is this creature? I don't know what this creature is.
Like,
I've never
what?
Seen this creature before.
Care?
I don't know this man. What? the tension of this moment is, can he do it? But I don't know who he is or what that is. So I don't, so yeah. This doesn't really
mean
anything.
I mean,
we
see it like, we see people fighting to hold it down.
Right, right.
And that's about it. And we don't know who he is. Not really. I mean, we understand that he's a warrior who hates whose people were killed. He's a prince whose people were killed by the motherland empire, whatever. And so he goes, I can tame it. And so then we get a real long action sequence of him taming this beast.
Which I'm here for. I mean, I'm here for what specifically seeing this. This was one of those mm-hmm. like... Oh, I like this as a sequence. Dinotopia
yeah.
ABC miniseries. There's a whole through line where a guy has to tame a pteranodon, and there's a whole thing that happens with it. I mean, it takes up an entire one of the episodes of the miniseries. It wasn't, you know, a 5 minute sequence.
Sure.
That like seemingly has no bearing on this actual story that we're watching.
I think it's supposed to show his prowess, right? Each of these things, it's like hey, let's show this guy's prowess, and it's like, wow, he can tame a freaking eagle creature. That's cool. He's cool. He's a good fighter. And then, I don't know why this other dude who lets them go is like, great. Now that he tamed this creature, now I can ride it too.
Sense.
That was ridiculous.
Why did he think that would happen? I like that's literally like us going up to a horse in a like somebody else's horse and being like, "Well, since you've been ridden before, I can jump on you and it'll be fine." Crazy.
It was completely ridiculous.
Crazy man dies. He should die. So he dies. Then they go to Nemesis. They're like,
okay,
hey.
Yeah. This was the scene that was bothering me. Like, so like, I'm not like this is my first time being upset. This is the one where I was like, where I was like, if this happens right now, I'm going to be furious at, I'm going to cut it off. I'm not going to. So she's battling this spider woman who is just like, I was here first. She's battling this spider woman who is just trying to provide for her family. Yes, that's a human child that the spider woman has, but this spider woman
her babies
is literally
need to eat.
Just trying to provide for her. And I'm like,
gotta
if
kill
we
somebody.
Watch this, if we watch this woman kill this spider woman, and that's all that happens, I'm gonna be furious. But then she had the line afterwards, Gerard, this is the line I was talking about, where she's like, where she's like, this could have been any one of us. And I was like, well, that's true. This is, we're all victims of the system, you know?
She was like, don't celebrate this. Yeah. I thought that's the line you were going to do. Turok literally, right after the battle, goes up to her and just says, that was amazing. And I was like, what a horrible line. What a horrible line for a Beastmaster to say. You couldn't give this person a better line than, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Or he would also even seemingly, because considering he was pro the bird beast attacking the oppressor, you would think he would have had more empathy for this giant spider woman that was just murdered for literally rising up against the against the people that had been
poisoning her air,
her air and
killed her kids.
Limiting and harming her kids.
Killed all her kids, to be exact. Oh.
Well, Nemesis' kids also died, and that's why she could relate to her and said, but you have to give the child back because revenge is not the answer. Which was interesting, an interesting philosophy that later on, literally the next person they recruit, Korra's like, hey, if you're not going to do it for honor, at least do it for revenge, baby. She's like, at least do it for revenge. And he's like, oh, you right about that one. And Nemesis is in the back like, didn't I just say we, what the, I just killed somebody for trying to do revenge. Oh, brother. Also, Nemesis has two swords that she's fighting with. And then halfway through the battle, she lights up her swords. And I was like, bro, you could have done this the whole time. Why?
I thought the idea was like, maybe she wasn't going to kill the spider.
She wasn't trying to kill
her. That was what was being communicated to me was like, maybe this isn't going to end with this spider woman being killed.
Really,
then she was like, okay, I'm gonna light him up. I got to kill this woman.
But why? Like, literally, if you related to this person, he got the kid out. You were chopping off her limbs anyway.
Yeah, there was any point she could have been like, I really wanted like a, we can stop here. You know, this can end now.
Why does she have fake lightsabers? No one else in this world has fake lightsabers. We don't address
why.
Because she's a swordswoman.
Lightsabers. There might be some other people with fake lightsabers.
In this movie, we saw no person with another fake, a sword that turns into a laser on the
blade. I thought when they killed the guy in the beginning, didn't his wife get chopped down by some sort of laser sword?
Ooh, it was like a whip. It was like a laser whip.
Oh, it was a laser whip.
It was like the lightsaber whips.
Okay. Jura, of course, it doesn't make any sense. The production design is all over the place. There's nothing. There's no continuity to any of these worlds.
I got
to
go back. No, but I got to go back, though, because this is about, the point of this is like, look at how many worlds are here, and so
they
that's like there's also
like the
one
same world. It's all
a bunch
dark.
Of, yeah, they all look the same. That was
CGI.
Well, the colors, sure, color scheme, yeah, but they're supposed to be different because this world had a spider woman, and the other world had a beast, had an eagle creature, and then the
eagle
next
beast.
World they go to looks like Rome. It looks like ancient Rome. Draw. The next one we go to is ancient Rome, and guess who's there? Digimon Hunsu. You know what movie he was in? Gladiator.
I remember what that world looked like.
It's fun. No, probably why. Zack Snyder was like, bro, who am I going to get to be the general in this Gladiator world? Pff, who else? Digimon Hunsu. He was in Gladiator. He know how to do this.
Yeah.
Why? When they cleaned Digimon Hunsu, they were like, hey, they were like, let's sober him up, and they got him. And then they had like this woman cleaning him. And then they were like, that's enough. And then he stand up and his like whole body is clean, but his face is still covered in dirt. I was like, what the? Why did you clean his face? Why was it not the first thing you clean? They didn't clean his face. They cleaned his whole body, but his face was covered in dirt. Meanwhile, the android gets his face clean. His evil master is like, hey, go clean up your face. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. I was just like, why did they clean this dude's face? Later on, his face gets clean and he cuts his hair. He's the general. General, what was his name? Titus?
Something like Titus.
Yeah. General Titus. General Titus used to be a huge general, and then he turned on the king or something. And then his whole army got wiped out. But he's still alive, drinking his life away. And she says, what about revenge? I don't know.
Why did he turn on the king?
He didn't like the evil that was being done. He said no more.
The king's being evil, you know?
The king was being evil.
There's only so much evil you can stand.
And he was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to kill innocent people.
Is next the like black eye mascara people? Or is there another person that we...
That's at the very end, James.
That's not next?
So much movie. That is the very end.
The next is they find the brother and the sister, don't they?
That's what I was talking about.
No, but this is the end, but they do more stuff before they get there. This, when they meet the painted black eye people, is like...
Oh, you're right.
It's the last sequence, but there's still 50 minutes of movie left.
Yeah, because so we cut to, we see what the Nazi is doing, and he got the eels all on him and stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
He was also was he doing drugs? I don't even know.
Right.
He's putting something in his body. It was weird.
But we see him with the guy that he caught earlier, and he promises he's going to release him after he gets his information, and he's trying to find the rebels who we are seeing be assembled right now. He's trying to find, I keep calling her Rebel Moon, that's not her name. He keeps trying to find the main character. That's who he's looking for, right? He's been looking for the main character of this whole movie.
No.
Right? Incorrect. Oh, he's not looking for her. He's looking for...
Okay. The Blood Axis. He's looking for the brother and the sister.
The brother and sister. And okay, yes. Okay. But then it's a reveal. He's like, oh, but also...
It's a reveal that she's
who she is, that she's the
daughter. Like, we kind of knew because like she's been telling us, but it's a reveal that she's like the most wanted person
right
in the galaxy.
Right. Okay.
But by this point you kind of already, because at this point,
yeah, no, we know who she is.
We know that by this time of the story, I think we know that she was then, like, after being good at war, she was then promoted to be the bodyguard of the king's daughter, the princess. And at this end, they were like, oh, and the princess has heat. Like, they said that she had healing powers. And I saw a lot of things that I didn't realize. And we see like her slow motion heal a baby bird, which Gerard really loved. He really loved the, you know what I mean? Because it was like fun. It was like slow motion healing.
Yeah, the healing of the baby bird.
Yeah.
I don't remember this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it was the little girl. Anyway, whatever. And but then she hints at the fact, like, I didn't realize I was being given this position for a purpose. So I think the thing that is clearly going to be revealed to us in movie two, even though it was just heavily hinted at in this film, was that her father, the guy who killed her parents and then adopted her and made her a child soldier, put her there so that she could be the one who killed the king.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the queen. At least. I don't know if she actually did it, but I think she's supposed to be a part of that.
Right.
And so probably turned on her, you know, and then she fled or whatever. I don't know. Maybe she was being set up. Maybe she was set up and everybody thinks that she's the one who killed the king and the queen.
Right.
They don't explicitly say that in this film, but I thought it was pretty obvious. Anywho, so they finally meet with the people who they were kind of looking for the whole time, which is... the brother and sister, because they have a rebel army and they're in this other planet with this tentacle guy who's like cute, who they're like all about peace and charity, and he's like, help us, and they're like, no, why would we help you? And then she's like, because, and then the brother's like, you're right, And that's basically how it goes.
This made me I know we don't like this movie, but this made me, this whole Brother Blood X storyline made me furious. I was so, everything that happens from here on is
it
like,
kind of was like, it was almost, it truly made no sense, because at the very least, give him, go, let him go, like, they'll never suspect us coming. We could do an ambush and save the town or something. Instead, he was just like, yeah, I'll take me and a couple of soldiers and we'll go on this suicide mission that there's clear, obviously we can't win, but we'll try, because we all want to die for, like, isn't that the whole point? And it's like, to a degree, I understand that. And by the way, I thought this actor was very good. I thought he sold that speech very well.
Absolutely.
Here's the other thing that pissed me off. Cora saw, literally the first thing that happened was she saw the person who they were trying to get the information from to find these people. She saw them get, that person get captured by bounty hunters. Obviously, obviously, these people are going to find these other people. And she, yet she doesn't even tell, she gives them no warning. Like, hey, by the way, they're almost certainly on their way here, because I don't even know how we got to you first, because the person we were looking for first to find who you are, he got captured immediately at the start of our journey. And we got detoured.
The point when she says something's fishy, it's like well beyond things being fishy.
It's so beyond it. It doesn't, it's so, she's so dumb. And then the brother, she doesn't say that, but the brother actually goes, well, he says to his sister, well, if they found us, it's probably not long till the motherland finds us. So you got to get out of here. And I thought he said to take the king, Leviticus. Is that the guy's name? That
I think they say it, Leviticus. I think they
Leviticus, like,
I think that's how they say it, but it is Leviticus.
I thought
right?
he was like, yo, take him with you. Yeah. I thought she was like, take, I thought he said to her, take him with you, but maybe he didn't, because then we just cut to a scene of course they're there and they're destroying the world, which they had to know was going to happen. And they just let that happen. Yeah. I thought that sucked.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like there should have been the movie sort of feeling sort of like vignette-y, you know, should have actually felt like there was this ticking clock of who's going to get there first, you know, but it never felt like that. Like, it never felt like one is hot on the other's tail or blah, 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 or whatever. It literally felt like two separate things happening, you know, that then eventually converge in a very kind of like obvious way. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Anyway, so now they got them. They got the whole, the gang's all here, and they're like, let's go back. And Charlie Hunnam's like, hey, you make me believe in this stuff. You make me believe in honor. I'll go with you. But I got one more shipment to drop off first. Let me finish that shipment, because we don't want pissed off people. And then once we do that, then we're good. And they're like, okay, fine. And they go to this place, and it's clearly fishy. And she then literally sees the bounty hunter from the beginning of the movie, and instead of immediately taking out a gun and shooting that bounty hunter, she just says under her breath, something's fishy.
Yeah, I think the line was something's wrong or something's wrong. I've added
something doesn't feel right. Whatever. Yeah. She said something doesn't feel right. Whatever. Whatever it is, she says it to herself. She doesn't say it out loud. She doesn't go, it's a trap. Like, you know?
Right.
And I guess she didn't want to say that, because it would have been a direct ripoff from Abrahackler in Star Wars. But she should have.
Yeah, certainly should have at least tried to alert anyone.
It's clearly a trap. Anyway. Okay. And so then they all get captured. A couple of the pilots die. And then the...
I got to tell you, I guffawed that they were caught immediately. The instant the team is together, we've been watching this movie. We all been watching this movie for an hour and a half. And the second they get together, they're caught.
Well, I knew something bad was going to happen because it's a movie. And I was like, huh, we haven't had all this loss moment yet. And I was like, so it's clearly about to come. and then we get this. And it's very quick, because immediately they get out of it, because Charlie Hunnam is like, you have to kill your girlfriend, which because I know you love her. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a part of me that, like, I would understand it if the Nazi guy did this. I don't understand Charlie doing it. I don't know why he cares about this guy, why he cares about, in any way, like, why he would care about, you know, torturing him, or why he would care about saving him, or any of that. It just none of that made sense.
So to Gerard's point earlier, and to the point of the movie of the Nazi stuff, is they were like, you're the only white guy here. You're the one that we can turn to our side. So you got to kill this woman of color that you love. To prove that you're one of us. this is the one guy who can walk out of this alive by our white standards. And so that was what I think they were trying to do.
You're right. I think that's what they were trying to do. It didn't make sense story-wise, but it makes sense.
No. It only makes sense from like a Nazi woke. Like it's right. It's the movie thinking it's woke.
Yeah, it's a movie trying to be clever. And so, and then he's like, instead of killing her, he is able, I guess the same thing that could kill her can also free her. And so he frees her, which I was like, if I was the other people, immediately when she gets free, I'm shooting every other person who is trapped. I just go, bop, 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 bop.
Yep.
Bop, bop, bop. Instead, they all back away. They all back away from what there are dozens of them. They all back away from one person. All right. And then she winds up freeing them all and we get the fight.
When she is loose, okay, there are four of them trapped, right? Three of them trapped. Yeah. She gets loose and immediately mows down five dudes. Everyone is captured. She was only out for one fourth of a second. They could have killed everybody. But instead, instead they let her kill them.
Yeah. Whatever. It was completely unbelievable how they got out of this. But then they all start fighting and the pilots die, sadly, and then Blood Axe runs the ship is apparently so close that he could run up something and then jump and try to stab a guy, but he misses at first, so he gets shot, but then he stabs him and they all crash.
It's livid. I liked the visual though of the ship slowly falling down. I like that visual.
Sure.
I'll give him that.
I did too.
And then this was very GoldenEye, this fight sequence on this small circular kind of, this was that last, it's the cradles level of GoldenEye, but it's also just that part of the movie when they're just like only fighting on this small.
I always find these, like the last boss fight sequences with someone who hasn't proven themselves to be formidable strength wise always kind of boring, because I'm just like, well,
she's gonna kill him.
Their strength is in obviously it's like there's this one-on-one, like his strength is in the fact that he commands an army and is evil, not his one-on-one fighting skills with a freaking stick. He's just using a stick to be brutal.
But I guess he's apparently immortal, which how
apparently he's something. I don't know what he's, a cyborg I guess, or right?
How much of that was in the movie
already?
He's
Darth Vader, half human, half robot now.
Yeah, he's a cyborg.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was in the movie because the tentacle stuff, I guess we were supposed to understand.
That's part of it.
I don't know. Or whatever he was putting it in. Yeah. The Neuralink thing was interesting, I guess. That was the other innovative thing that was kind of cool. They were like, all right, Neuralink him.
Yeah. When we get into that scene and we are spending more time with this character, I was like, is there any danger to this? Because there was seemingly, you know what I mean? He was seemingly making threats and stuff, but it was like, but you can't do anything.
He kept banging his stick and there was like ice. And I was like, first of all, we understand, like, we know that they're not actually in a physical realm right now. This is in the mind. So But he keeps doing it like it's supposed to be this scary thing, but it's not scary. It's just weird. But then the other actor is acting like he's nervous. Like,
yeah, and there was a whale creature thing swimming around underneath it. And it was like, well, what's going to happen? Is it going to come out and eat them? Also, if the glass, if the ice breaks, don't they?
Which
and
it
if
does.
It's real, wouldn't they all fall into it? Like what? Like what?
I mean, it's not. So, and then the ice breaks and he just falls out of the Neuralink.
What was the
like,
point of the whale thing?
I don't understand the point of any of that. Just have the conversation. It just was like, it was weird. It was like visuals for visual sakes, but it was like, I'm like, none of this is scary. I don't know why he keeps banging the stick on the ice. Why is there ice? What? It just was like, why? And also, this was the movie. The production design was so bad. I literally was, this is the first time I've been so aware of such poor production design that it was just like frustrating. Anyway, I hated that part. I hated that part a lot. Anyway, it's the end of the movie. They get back. That guy's still alive. They get back to the place. They're like, you know, this would have been a good place to die. And I think she says, yeah, it would have, which was a weird thing to say. And especially a weird thing for it to be the last like line of the movie. And then we see the robot and his crown of flowers is now turned into antlers, which I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but okay. Character that we never saw after 20 minutes.
This was like one of the images for Rebel Moon for me that I know that Netflix shows everybody different kind of thumbnails and stuff.
Right.
But this was one of the main ones that I saw on my Netflix. And I don't understand. Why that was one of the thumbnails and why it felt important enough for it to show. And then also it being sort of the last thing that we see, one of the last things we see, because I think actually the VR scene is actually after this, right? Isn't that after this?
What's the VR scene?
The scene in the virtual world that we were just talking about, the Neuralink scene.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think so.
But I don't get it. That was my favorite character, and he went away almost immediately. It was infuriating.
Which one was
infuriating?
That?
The Jimmy, robot. The robot.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
All right. Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon. We'll see what happens in part two. Time for the cause. We rate and review this film not based on how much we liked it. Whether or not it helps the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood, it feels like it fully helps the cause. We go to black. This, someone helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Okay, this is interesting. This woman's from Argentina. Is that what you said?
Or no, Algeria, not Argentina.
Algeria, excuse me. Yeah. we had a long conversation about it, and then I fully forgot. we had a long conversation about it, and I fully forgot.
All good. All right, Algeria, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Feels right.
All right.
I gave this movie nothing. I think it deserves nothing. There was no black woman in this movie at all. This movie had one black man. He died at the very end in the dumbest fucking
two black
possible.
Men.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we had bro, at one I never need to watch this movie again. I hated this. Yeah. This was very enjoyable. Like the movie. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
What I love about the way Gerard does the cause is Bray always explains what the cause is about. And Bray always says it's not about whether or not you liked it. But Gerard, you always give a thoughtful reason for why it doesn't help the cause. But then you also make sure we know that you didn't like it.
Well, my thing is...
you make sure we know. Like, I didn't like this.
This review, this was just an unpleasurable experience. And it was like, I wish if there was like a black woman in it, I'm like, oh, maybe... It could have put her on if she had a cool part, or if like the black dude who was like Cyborg had a really cool part. He showed up at the end, died very quickly.
That's true.
I just don't. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
All right.
I give it a white palm because it does. It's a pretty diverse cast. And despite the fact that I didn't really like it, I do think a lot of people saw it, got two movies in it. I think it's going to help these actors out. Maybe we'll get some other stuff. And yeah, so my poem.
Yeah, same. Basically, there's a little paint by numbers in terms of having a female action lead, but, you know, person of color, I don't know if she identifies as that, but she's certainly darker than the white guy that's this other lead. And, you know, and the diversity of the cast, the death of that, of the blood axe brother is, it goes down in history as one of the more like frustrating deaths of a black character in movies like this. We just met him.
I know. He seems so cool. The actor is cool. Yeah.
So yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links there to our Patreon and Red Circle, which is our exclusive feed. For $5 a month, you get bonus episodes every other week. We have a lot up there. We just reviewed Deadpool and Wolverine. We reviewed Monkey Man this year. We've reviewed Tyler Perry's Black. Yeah, a couple Tyler Perry. So, you know, it's fun. We got some fun stuff there. American Society of Magical Negroes helps us keep this podcast free. So if you have the money, you can do it. Thank you guys so much for supporting, for all those who do. And you can follow me at John Braylock. Got a Herald team, UCB. It's called This Is She. We perform every other Monday at the UCB Theater, Franklin Theater in LA. Also every other Thursday now at the UCB Annex in LA, which is right around the corner from Franklin.
Oh, nice. Every Thursday or every other Thursday?
Every other Thursday. It's like the third. Okay. It's like if we're not performing on the Monday, we're performing on that Thursday.
Oh, so then you have back-to-back shows then, right?
It's like we have a show. No, it's like we just had a show this week on a Monday. So next week we'll have a show next on Thursday. And then the week after that we'll have it on Monday. Yeah. I mean, back to back, I guess, in terms of Thursday to Monday.
Thursday, Monday. Yeah. Yeah. But Monday, Thursday, you got some time. All right. Cool.
Yeah. All right. That's me.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleofthreeinc.com. This is the last handful of days for my comic Kickstarter. If you have the funds and care to donate, get another issue of Junior, and also have it's an anthology on there as well that you can get a copy of, $5, $8 respectively. And then also, by the time this airs, I don't think there are any more new episodes of Fairly Odd Parents coming out, but please, if you can, tweet, tag on Instagram, whatever. Let Nickelodeon know we want the show to come back. We want a season two. I need everybody listening to this. I need every single person that listens to this to beg Nickelodeon for a season two of this show. Just add them. Just at Nickelodeon, at Nick Animation. Let everybody know we want a season two of Fairly Odd Parents, a new wish. A new wish, specifically. There's a lot of Fairly Odd Parents spinoffs. A new wish is the one that we want to get a season two of. All right, that's it. That's it.
Amazing.
That's great. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
See you next week. Peace.